Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Angelo Cerbi for Fred Film Radio from the Berlinale Festival, actually not from the Berlinale Festival, from this virtual Berlinale Film Festival. I'm here with Hemi Ramadzan, the director of Any Day Now, which shows in Generation section. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Your film is really, really sweet, but really touching and sad at the same time. And the movie is on the shoulder of this young character who tells us through his eyes the story of his family.
Exactly.
And how much of you there is in this guy, in this kid?
Being totally honest, you know, he was the hardest person to relate to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of wanted to be the father. He was so cool and just handling everything so well. And I recognized my mother and sister somehow in those characters. But with the boy, I think because it's not me, you know, it's just, you know, it's a memory. So he was the captain of the film, but it was very hard, not hard, but it was weird because I never had this kind of feeling before.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'm not saying that I didn't have any emotions towards him. That's not the point, but usually, you know, you fell in love with the main character.
Yeah.
That because for me, the family was the main character. He was just part of that. And of course, I get very interested in him when I realize how much he knows about things. So in that way, it does represent, you know, children that knows a lot more than we expect.
And what they should be supposed to, probably.
Yeah.
the feeling is that this kid, new film, is a grown up too early compared to his age. Even if he has his childish part, like, you know, but still life is making him grow very fast.
Exactly. And it's a weird feeling because in the same time you are a child, because when I came to Finland, for example, after seeing all of the refugee life, you know, all the hardship, and, you know, my parents were very, very straightforward that we're going to be hanged. You know, you have to do what we tell you, or, you know, the game is over. This is real. This is not a game. But, you know, while the kids were doing almost adultish kissing stuff and, you know, going and drinking, we were playing Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow you're right that I think, you know, I'm hooked with filmmaking because I have a chance to play.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, just like it's a mixed feeling, you know, in a way you're grown up. And in the same time, when you're with your friends, you're just with your friends, and that's it.
And actually, one of the strengths of the film is that it seems to tell like a happy and coming-of-age story, but on the back end of this, there is like always this threat of ending, that this world has to end. But you manage to have those two levels work together, but not one over the other. So all the childish part, all of the childish memory, the children memories are really, really happy, really, really funny, really touching. Yeah. The first dance he has in this party with this girl is so awkward and so you know, emotional for us to watch. This is really sweet. So you managed to keep this thing giving us a different perception on what a refugee's life can be.
Yes, that was very important, and it was really hard actually to do because you know, you couldn't make this film very conventional, mm-hmm. in a conventional way, you know, because the main point was that this film is about a family, not a refugee family. And you have seen the film and you understand what I mean, but because the theme of being a refugee and, you know, being it right now socially, overall, always being a refugee has been this, it's a big theme, like alcoholism, it's or something like that. So when you try to break such a huge theme, there is a huge risk where you can get your audience lost, but we took that risk, and I'm so happy to hear that that what you say, you know, it's a fact, you know. And
yeah, and the, another thing that I wanted to discuss with you is this you with this film, you give us a light of hope and positivity towards the future of refugees, on how can the refugees issue can be held and managed like it was in Finland, for example, you know. And it's not that you made things up, but it's not like a fantasy creature. Yeah. It's something that really happened. So and this puts your film very far away from any other refugee films we can see right away, because everything is focused on the tragedy. You try to focus on the future of it, on the hope and what comes next.
That's what we had, you know. That was the hope that took us, you know. And during, you know, the people, it feels like that. People think that being a refugee is almost like being a robot, that you have seen such a terrible things that you're used to it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
It feels that it's not you, but it happens overnight. All of a sudden, it is you, you know, just like the epidemic. I remember my dad said about the Iranian revolution, Islamic revolution. Said it just happen overnight, but when things starts to change, things change quickly, and that's why I wanted to very gently bring the audience close to this family and show that beside of actually. Trying to, you have children trying to grow, you know, just keep them alive in everyday life, plus the, you know, this huge burden that you don't know what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, the title of the film is really clear about this, you know.
Yeah.
Any day now, it means that, I mean, for me, it was that this can change any minute. So, we don't know. We try to not think about it, but you know that there is this threat hanging over them.
Yeah, and that's why I fell in love with the family. I just it doesn't feel like you wrote it. It feels like the family is there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not my family. It's just because we gave so much freedom to when we were writing. You know, we didn't want a control. We had some control that what we don't want to show. And they grew, and the way they had found to keep their routine, I was just sometimes like, I hope I was Bahman, you know. He just always handles things well, you know. Everything always ends well.
Yeah.
Besides that, somehow.
Listen, I mean, how much? I mean, you tell this story, which is partially your story, through the eyes of this kid, which is a fictionalized character, of course. It's not the mentor. This so there is a, he was created by you while you were writing. And how much of your memories are into that? How much did you have to modify in order for the narrative to be more fluid.
We have to be honest, you know, it took me a long time to write this because just absolutely crazy stuff happened. I started to do my first feature film, which was an intimate film about a refugee family that, you know, I didn't even think about them as refugees, just our trip, you know, that nice little trip. All of a sudden becomes a huge refugee crisis. So all of a sudden I'm living in my past. It's in my present. And I have my first child. And I, all of a sudden it's his future. And all of that made me go and search for truth about humanity through my traumas. And when we realized what's going on, that was the turning point, that there is no truth in trauma. You can sit down for many, many years and you cannot find the truth. Mm-hmm. So when I wrote it, you know, I was all you know, I kind of recovered and I kind of told myself that it's okay for you to not make films again because it was so hard. And when I did that and focused on my kid, all the good memories started to come, you know, just, and I saw my dad. And so when it turned, you know, all of a sudden my dad wasn't anymore my dad. It was Shao Posey.
Yeah.
It just turned into
complete transfer. Yeah,
exactly. So being totally honest, in a way, of course, there are some scenes that are exactly what happened or what I remember how they happened. Emotionally, this film is closest to truth that I came, rather than any other versions of the script, which were like many times exactly what happened. That was a lot of control as well. The characters couldn't move, you know, because there was this hand who was angry at society and politics and all that bullshit.
Yeah. But actually, the strength of the film is that the point you totally understand from the very beginning that the point of view of the narrative is the point of view of the kid, of his mind, his memory, and his way of approaching life, you know, because he is enthusiast anyway.
He
perceives things in a positive way. He reacts in a positive way. He has friends. He have this kind of struggle that a kid of his age has. We know that he's not like a regular kid.
Yeah.
He is a refugee living in Finland, but this is not. It's amazing how you managed to not have this additional quality of his character being a refugee haunt the film.
I'm so happy that I hear this, because seriously, this is the first time that in Finland I heard that in Finland I felt that we did it. Mm-hmm. And I was so nervous that in international audience, can they have because everybody's in different countries, they see it different way, or if it succeeds, then it's the same story. And I'm so happy that you say it, because it was our main challenge, you know. Mm-hmm. As I said, the theme, because people make the theme, people are already putting scenes after another in their mind.
While
you're trying to tell them, look, this is about a banana with two heads. There is no point. Just you know, relax.
Relax and watch. Actually, it's relieving to see a movie that shows that those things, those kind of integration and in of helping refugees can be done. And it's not like a fantasy. It's like real stuff. Listen, how long did it take you to shoot it? Was it a long process or was it short writing?
I hope it was a long process because, like everyone, you are struggling with time. Mm-hmm. But we had on set Shahab Hosseini, and every day we had Ramin, who was like 11. Mm-hmm. So you're working with children, your time ends, you know, they get tired. Then you have the little kid, and the other day, next day, you have hundreds of kids, you know. So like it was kind of small film, but then again, huge. We struggled with the time because of the timetable in Finland. I think it's 7 hours, 6 hours with children working. So that was. But, you know, in days, I think it was like 28 days of actual shooting.
Mm-hmm. So like regular, not much.
No, it was very regular. And I think we just we didn't do any mistake. You know, you got the budget and you have to just manage. And we have always managed, but it was this time it was like surprisingly hard, you know, to keep on time.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Thanks a lot to Amir Ramazan, the director of Any Day Now. A wonderful film in Generation section of the Berlinale. Thanks a lot for your film, Hami, and good luck for everything.
Thank you. Thank you. It was such a pleasure talking with you.
Thanks. I'm Angelo Acerbi for Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.